Hey, everybody, and welcome to Brothers Less Grimm. I am Mark, and with me is Jeff.
Hello.
And if you like Catholicism, you are in the right place. On every episode of our show, we improvise one story. We do this by playing a card game once upon a time. We do use our own set of house rules, and if you're curious what those rules are, you can check out our episode zero. We do have a content warning for this episode concerning dark themes. In today's story, a drifter confesses to a priest. And so sit back, relax, and enjoy Two Fathers.
So a drifter walks into a church. That's the image that I like. I got those two cards, drifter and church. So I'll try to fill it out a little bit, and then I'll pass it off to you pretty quickly here. So we got a drifter walking to a church. Let's see. I'll say he's like a well-dressed, kind of charismatic guy. He's not like a homeless, scraggly type of drifter. He's got like a decent coat on, and he's got like this kind of smirk. And I kind of was deciding if it should be genuine or not. And I'm just going to leave it ambiguous. He's just kind of got a perpetual little smile, at least in this little short scene here. And he just walks into the church. And I'm going to say it's there's like no service right now. It's just like this empty church. He walks in and he'll sit down at one of the pews, kind of near the back, and bow his head. And I'm going to just pass it over to you right there.
Okay. Eventually, a priest comes up and says to the drifter, "How are you, my son? What brings you here?" And the drifter looks up, and he's got that same smirk, and he says, "Father, I'd like to confess my sins." And the priest is like, "Well, shall we go through the booth? Go to the booth then?" He's like, "I'll be in the booth whenever you're ready." And the priest walks away, and after a while, the drifter stands up. He kind of walks with a little bit of a swagger, and goes into the confession booth, and the priest is just like, when was the last time you confessed, my son?" And the drifter says, "This is my first." I'll pass it over to you.
So I've got a lot to say. Okay, I've got some catching up to do with the confession, but I feel like now's a good a time, as good a time as any. So let's get into it, Father. You ready for this?
Yes, my son.
What's your name, Father? I feel like I just want to know your name. I don't know why. I just feel would be more comfortable talking to a friend rather than a stranger. Father's like, "My name is Father Martinez." Church is like, "All right, I'm Sal." It's like, "All right, hello, Sal. What would you like to confess first, I guess? You got this like long list. What do you want to confess first?" I guess first thing I want to say is, all the clothes that I'm wearing right now, this really nice jacket, really nice shirt, really nice watch, I stole it all. It's all taken from houses. No stores, just houses. So I like going into rich people's houses when they're out there around, and go through their stuff. They got some really nice stuff. And I feel like I probably shouldn't be doing that, but they have so many clothes. And I mean, I don't always keep the clothes. Sometimes, like, because, like, I can't carry everything. I like to travel light, so sometimes I just take some of their stuff and just take it on down to Goodwill. It's kind of like a little Robin Hood stuff, and I think the thing that I really want to confess here is I feel really good about doing that. And I'm not sure that I should. Should I? Over to you. Drawing.
Huh?
Like, ending cards. It's like, at the end of your turn, you draw one, you discard one. I keep, like, reaching for the ending card pile. I was doing it.
Oh, gotcha.
This time as well. So I'm going to push that a little farther, but it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Whew. The Father Martinez is just like that is you know, the Bible says thou shalt not steal. So it's just like even stealing from the rich, doesn't it also talk about how it's not necessarily good to be rich? And priest is just like, just be the verse you're referring to, where the rich will not, it's easier to get a camel through an eye of needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is in the Bible, but that is more to do with them than you in this situation. It's not the duty of the non-rich to steal from the rich. You must focus on your own salvation, and the Saul's just like, yeah, but it's not like the worst thing in the world, is it, Father? And the Father Martinez is like, if that is all that you have done, is that all you wish to confess, that you steal clothing from the wealthy? And Saul's just like, no, that's not the only thing. That's just one of my favorite things. I'll pass it over to you.
Yeah. That's just the one that I like sharing. Because, I don't know, it's just like a little baseline, like, just getting to know you. It's not as bad. Well, let's get into it, Father. Let's get into it, Father Martinez. So, next thing I want to confess, I'm a father. I have a child. He's like 5 or 6 or 7 or something. I don't actually know. I don't care. I don't love my child. I don't have any interest in seeing him. I don't feel close to him or feel like I have a connection with him, and I don't have an interest in connecting with him. And I feel like I am supposed to, but whatever chemicals in my brain that are supposed to tell me to love my child just have decided to, I don't know, not do that. So, I don't know. I mean, am I going to be damned forever because my brain doesn't tell me to love my child? I feel like my brain doesn't work the way that most people's brains do. That's why I feel like it's a brain chemistry thing. Because I feel like for most people, it's a no-brainer. You love your child, you can't even help it. But for me, it's not like that. So, am I going to be damned forever, Father? Over to you.
Do you truly believe that is how you feel? Or clearly you feel some sort of guilt towards it. Perhaps your guilt is misconnected with the idea that you do not love your child, but perhaps the thing you feel guilty about isn't that you're incapable of, it's just that you have not begun trying until... you've not yet begun trying. And so it's just like, come on, Father. Am I going to be damned for that? Is that a sin? And the priest is just like,
I believe the Bible says you're supposed to honor your father and your mother, but I don't think it says anything about honoring your children. Is that correct? Am I wrong, Father?
It does say to honor your mother and father. Though, I'm sure there's something in the Bible that talks about loving your children. That's not... Now I'm having a moment. I don't know enough.
The character would know something that you actually don't know.
Yeah.
So it's hard for you to be the character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You get to decide, because... Like we can't look this up, obviously.
No, we cannot. Let's see. I can call it something. I can't come up with anything in particular, but I think I'm sure there's the Father Martinez can talk about generosity and grace, and it's just like, well, it is
one of the most famous stories from the Bible is the story of Jesus being crucified. He's the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like a very good thing for a father to do. I don't know.
Though I will counter with the parable of the shepherd and the lamb.
How's that one go? Sorry, I'm not a man of the Bible.
There's a shepherd, and he loses track of a lamb. And one day, when he realizes, he goes out and he finds the lamb and carries the lamb on... over his shoulders back to the herd. And this is a story about the responsibility that the shepherd has to his flock. Now, you as a father, have some responsibility to your flock, being your child here. Now, maybe the Bible, this may not be a sin, but it's certainly something that you need to work on. You'll be closer to God if you are focused on your family a bit more. I'm sure the priest says that more eloquently than I just then. Over to you.
Okay. Let's see here. Father, I guess I'd like to confess something else. I have a knife in my pocket right now. It's killed 4 people, this knife. I've killed 4 people with this knife. The Bible says you're not supposed to do that. So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like in each of the cases, it was justified. You know, I'm not just picking people off the street and just shanking them just because, you know. I'll say in all 4 circumstances, it was self-defense. I get myself into dangerous situations sometimes. So in all four instances, it was self-defense. So I've killed 4 people with a knife in my pocket right now. And, I don't know. Am I going to be damned forever, Father? Over to you.
Well, you may be imprisoned by guilt, but through the grace of God and accepting Jesus as your Savior, he is a figure of forgiveness, my son. But you must let him into your heart entirely and completely in order to access that forgiveness. You must go to him before you can begin to be forgiven. Is that something that you think you are even able to do? That was aggressive, but I think that's a fair question. Over to you.
No. I don't think so. I don't really have an interest in sitting down and praying a whole lot. In fact, if I could go anywhere else, I would. I wouldn't be here talking to a priest. But priests, are some of the only types of people out there who are actually willing to sit down and listen to strangers. So that's why I'm here. But yeah, no, I'm not a religious man. I have no interest in praying. I don't believe in a higher power. I don't think there's anything out there. I think this is all we get here and now. Father would, I think, have to point out, then why have you been asking about eternal damnation?
Yeah, it's a fair question.
Drifter kind of laughs it off and is like, yeah, just in case, you know, just hedging my bets. Mostly I'm just here to talk to you, Father. And, you know, communicating in a language that you understand. You understand eternal damnation. I understand hell on earth. So, I don't know, just kind of translating. And I guess the priest asks, are you saying that you're experiencing hell on earth, would you say? And I'll pass it over to you.
And the drifter, his smirk becomes a little wider at that. And he's just like, of course. Of course I'm experiencing hell on earth. And I am my own Satan. And Father Martinez is just like, what do you mean by that? And he's just like, well, just seems like everything I do is designed to make my own existence just a little bit worse, and then I become even more distant. And then that makes me make even worse decisions and get into situations where I need to defend myself with a knife. Well, I don't know. I guess when you get yourself in a situation where you feel you have to kill someone and you get in that situation willingly, maybe you're killing those people a little bit more willingly than I initially thought. What do you think, Father? Over to you.
What do I think about killing people? Is that right? Hold on. You get into situations that, like...
He was asking if it seems like more of his choice than he initially said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like he's his own Satan.
Mm-hmm.
What do I think, Father? I think you are a very complicated young man. That's what I think, and I would love to get to know you a lot better. I will admit this has been a lot for one conversation. So maybe could you Could you come back tomorrow? Would you be willing to come back tomorrow? Maybe have another little conversation. Drifter says, maybe. Why, you don't want to talk anymore? Father's like, I find confessions are best in small doses. Usually people are only confessing one thing at a time. Or like a handful of smaller things. But, I don't know, you feel like a longer project, if you know what I mean. Not to be rude. But, yeah, I think it would be best if we spaced this out a little bit. But you know, you say maybe there's a chance you wouldn't come back, and Drifter's like, yeah, I mean, I could just kind of go where the wind takes me, or where my inner demons want me to go. So, and to be honest, I'd prefer to keep talking a little bit longer in here, if that's okay with you, Father. Father's like, all right, we'll keep going a little bit longer. Just know that I think it would be good if you, you did this in smaller doses. You allow yourself to think more deeply and decompress in between confessions. And Drifter's like, can you answer my original question? I feel like you're dodging it. Father's like, oh, I'm terribly sorry. Right, you asked, do I feel like you're putting in yourself in situations where you're being forced to defend yourself? And you're kind of doing it on purpose, and you're kind of suggesting that you're not really... These weren't really self-defense killings. You just kind of pushed and pushed until you were in a situation where you felt like you could say, without really much, without needing to give it a second thought, you could say that it was self-defense. Do I think that you're doing that? It's kind of a complicated situation to even explain. Do I think that's happening? I mean, I don't know. You're the person who would probably know best. If you wanted to ask someone else, I would ask God. You know, I know you said you're not a religious man, but I would ask, have you ever really given it a fair shot? Over to you.
And the Drifter just laughs at that and just like, what do you think, Father? Just like, I guess when I was a kid, my family raised me pretty religious, not Catholic, but, you know, one of those evangelical types. Just turned me off of the whole thing, to be honest. Can't say that I had much of a instinct to ever return, or even, not even sure if I believed it when I was that young. And Father Martinez is just like, finding a relationship with God is a journey. I encourage you to take it.
You might be surprised.
Maybe. Or maybe it will be exactly what I expect it to be.
What do you expect it to be?
Just another con, I guess. Another lie just to get yourself through the day. Well, Father, it's clear you don't really want to talk anymore. What do I need to do to be forgiven? How many Hail Marys do I need? He says it, you know, a little sarcastically. And I'll pass it over to you.
How many Hail Marys do you need? I don't have a good answer for you, Sal. And I think you know that. I don't think you were looking for a good answer, so I won't even try to give you one, but I think I'll say that I would love to help you, Sal. I will move mountains. I will talk to you for weeks on end straight. I just, you know, cancel services if I thought I could help you. But I don't feel like you really came here looking for help, Sal. I don't know why you came in here, but it doesn't feel like you were really expecting much from me. Is that fair? Sounds like, oh, I'm offended, Father. And, you know, even if that were true, wouldn't it be your job to convince me otherwise? Father's like, I don't know. I guess I don't really see that as my job. I don't force help upon people who don't want it. That's never really been my approach. So, I am confused by you, Sal. You did come in here willingly of your own volition, and you came in here, and I don't know. I guess part of me feels like part of you does want help, and that's the part of you that told your brain to walk in here. But you're remaining really guarded, and until that part of you lets go, the part of you that wants help is not going to get it. So I don't know. I said you seemed complicated. Maybe a more accurate word would be conflicted. And Sal nods. Of course, the father can't see it, but Sal nods and is like, yeah. Yeah, conflicted. That seems like a good word for it, Father. I'm just going to pass it over to you.
Should we look at endings just for a...
Yeah.
Sake of
yeah.
direction.
Yeah, it's like, are we going to leave this room or not? Okay, I'm looking at Enix. Interesting.
What do you got?
One seems fine. It's an ending. I don't think I've ever seen this before.
I also have an ending that doesn't seem familiar.
That would work?
Could.
Interesting. So direction-wise, I feel like mine would end up with Sal accepting help of some kind. Or you would triumph a little bit over his demons.
I feel like it's not like a fully, it would work with like an act of redemption, but it's not necessarily a full redemption.
What? It would work with an act of redemption, but it's not a full redemption?
I mean, it is very confusing.
I mean, I'm on board with a less than happy ending.
Yeah, it's not a fully happy ending.
Maybe we'll try for that. Whatever that is. Because I don't know if I want a complete happy ending here.
Yeah. So I think I'm gonna have them open the door to the booth and leave. Just like, you know, Father, I've talked to a few priests. He kind of says it through the Father Martinez is still in the door. He's like, I will say you're by far my favorite. And then he walks out of the church, lights a cigarette, because that seems like a thing that he would do. And then he just kind of walks off into the city. And Martinez goes out to the garden by the church and prays that that Saul will return and talk to him some more. And I'm going to have Saul, you know, he's walking through the city, and he comes up to an apartment building, and he's looking up to it, looking at a specific window. And that's the window where his child and the mother live. And I'll pass it over to you there.
Okay. So he's looking up there, smoking a cigarette. And I'm going to say somebody on the sidewalk just kind of passes by him. And Sal, like, shoves him a little bit. And he's like, what are you looking at? You want to go? You want to fight? And the passerby just kind of, like, looks a little scared. He's clearly not looking for a fight and continues on. And Sal, hand in his pocket, fingers on the knife, just like, And I'm going to cut to the father. So I don't know too much about what his personal life would be like. I feel like he probably would have like a place to live, like near the church. And he probably would be alone there. That's what I would imagine. So yeah, he goes in there and he just starts working on the coming Sunday's sermon. Starts just kind of working on newsletter for the week. And then he leans back in his chair and he looks at his sermon. It's about just kind of praying. And, I don't know what it's about. It's about something that's irrelevant to, the rest of what we've said thus far. And then he realizes that, he wants to do something else. So he opens up a fresh document and then he types. Let's see. So he could have a few options here. He could do something about the shepherd and the lamb. He could do like honor thy children. Or he could do something like
the 11th commandment.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm going to go with. Honor. So the full title of this sermon that he's going to type here at night going to be honor thy father and thy mother and thy children. That's going to be the full title. So, and then he starts typing up a storm, you know, he's got some ideas. So I'm going to pass it over to you.
Okay. I'm going to have another character who is kind of been following Saul. And he sees that Saul's staring at a window for an extended period of time, and he's curious about what that is. And this is going to be let's go with the brother of one of the people that Saul had killed. And he's kind of been on a revenge journey himself. And he counts the windows. He kind of figures out which apartment it would be that Saul was staring at. And once Saul walks off, he looks at the buzzer and sees the names of the people and the name of the person on that. Like, it would just be the mother's name, I think. Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah. And he writes that down. He's gonna figure out who that is. And Saul is just kind of walking around. He goes to a bar. He does get in a fight, but it doesn't escalate to the point where he needs to use the knife, even though I think he's really he pulls out the knife and the person just runs away at that point that he was fighting. And he's just disappointed by that. And day passes. I'll pass it over to you. I forgot to say that in the fight, like, someone is hurt a little bit, but not killed. Yeah.
Okay, so wait, you said the day passes or
what? Time can kind of goes on.
Okay, like, so it's the next day.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna have Sal. He's gonna.
Yeah, I've been saying it both ways, and I know it's Sal.
I'm realizing now. Yeah, that's like, wait, Sal.
I've been making that mistake.
I don't know if I've been saying it both ways. But yeah, Sal. I'm gonna have him walk into a new church. He's gonna sit down with a new father. It's like, hey, I have some confessions. And this conversation doesn't go well. The father is clearly uncomfortable talking with Sal. Is not really... He thinks this guy's dangerous, and he's worried for his own personal safety. And that's something that Father Martinez... You didn't get that vibe with Father Martinez. Father Martinez was game for whatever, and was open to talking about all sorts of things, and never recoiled from the conversation. Even when he was saying, I don't think I can help you, like, that kind of stuff, he said that stuff more as a challenge to Sal, rather than, like, hey, I want to exit this conversation, so... I'll go ahead and say it's like Sal gets angry and like roughs this priest up a little bit. Like he's an angry man. He doesn't go crazy, but yeah, he like yanks him out of the booth. Is like, I can tell you're afraid for your safety. You know, I told you I've killed people. You're afraid you're going to be next. The father is scared, obviously, and begs for his life. And Sal just gets angry. Not like angry, like I'm going to kill you. He's just like angry, like you're not being very helpful. Like, this conversation was disappointing. So, Sal, he just shoves the father. Father falls to the ground, and then Sal just walks out. Over to you.
Okay. I have the guy on the revenge narrative. He's going through some like public record stuff, and he finds a birth certificate, a copy of it, or a record of a birth, and it's got the mother's name, it's got the kid's name, and it's got Sal's name, but there's no signature below it. It's just like the father's unsigned. I think that's how birth certificates would work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what I'm saying is the mother wrote his name, but like he wasn't there to sign it, so it's unsigned by the father. But he's found this the copy of this birth certificate, and he's figured out that in that apartment there is the child, Saul's child, and he decides that his revenge is one of his family members was killed by Saul. He's going to kill one of Saul's family members. He's gonna try to kill the son. And I'm gonna pass it over to you at that point.
Oh man. All right, I'll do it. Goes into the apartment and he kills him. Kills the son, kills the mother. Just real bloodbath. And at that point, this brother character realizes that he needs to, like, it's not satisfying in the way that he thought it would be. Because the person he really hates is Sal. It's not these two. It's Sal. So, he'll take a few pictures. And then he'll do, like, some few, like, cursory things to, like, clean up the crime scene and, like, get rid of his prints and, like, try to wipe clean. I'll say a knife. He'll use the knife because Sal used the knife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also quieter.
Mm-hmm.
So, he cleans up the crime scene a little bit and gets pictures, and he's going to go out and find Sal. It's a dark story.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, this is a dangerous man, and this wife and kid are not preparing for anything dangerous, seems like.
Yeah, they were this most pretty normal, those pretty seemed.
Normal and vulnerable to dangerous people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up dead. Alright, okay, so yeah, he leaves the apartment, and he's hits the streets and is looking for Sal. Over to you.
Okay. I'm going to have it be Sunday. And Sal has, gone to another priest and is also not a fruitful conversation. And he can't get Martinez out of his head, and so it's on Sunday he decides to go to Martinez's church, and he hears the sermon that he's written. Honor thy mother, thy father, and honor thy child. And Martinez doesn't know Sal is there, and he's listening, and he sort of references the conversation a little bit, about finding extending grace in more directions than just the Bible suggests at times. And he is kind of moved by this a little bit, but he ducks out of the sermon a little bit early. Sal has a moment where he thinks he is, he sees, Sal, and he's kind of, he takes a pause when that happens, but then continues as Sal leaves the church. And Sal's goes back to the apartment, and he looks up at that building. And the revenge guy bumps him and drops an envelope at his feet and just kind of keeps walking. And he opens it up. He opens up the envelope, and it's got photos of his dead child. And he immediately like looks around and just starts running after the guy that dropped the envelope, and finds him, and you know, the two of them get in a fight, a knife fight in the alley, and Sal gets stabbed, but ultimately kills the other guy. He sort of has a mild, he sort of realizes how blind he is, he's been, and to his family, and his wound was healed, but his heart remained broken forever. Well, Jeff, any thoughts on Two Fathers?
Yeah, actually, I do have some thoughts. So I think the first thing I want to point out is I love how different this story feels from all our other stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite serious. It's quite dark. It's also really slow paced.
Like the first 20 minutes just takes place in a confession booth.
Yeah. when we were looking at endings, I remember that moment where it's like I was wondering like if we're gonna leave the room or not. So like, yeah. We were looking at endings, trying to get that direction, see if we were gonna leave the room. I'm happy that we did. I'm happy that.
Me too. Yeah.
The way things unfolded. But yeah, contributing to the slow pace, I think we were just like the way we were talking when we were telling the story. I think we were speaking at a slower pace than we normally do.
Mm-hmm.
At least that was my impression. I haven't done like word counts or anything.
Yeah, even so, it was still one of our shorter stories of the season.
Yeah, in terms of the time, it was 45 minutes of story. So, did it feel like 45 minutes to you?
Not really.
What did it feel like?
It felt like maybe this isn't the. It felt like such a full episode that it's kind of surprising that it was that short.
I'd agree. I thought it felt like a longer story, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
I don't mean it in a bad way either.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was dragging. It just felt like it was longer than it was. what thoughts do you have on this story?
I mean, I still sort of go back and forth. Like, I played my ending card, and I'm glad with the ending card that I played of, like, his wound healed, but his heart was broken forever.
Yeah.
There is a part of me that, like, the character of Sal is so dark and at times sociopathic that it doesn't seem like he would have a broken heart forever. That I almost wish that it was the brother who is enacting revenge on Sal that survived and killed him, and he was the one that still had the broken heart forever. So I kind of wish that I switched those two characters, and if I thought about it a little bit more, then I think I probably would have. But that's just the nature of an improvised drama as well.
Well, I wouldn't beat yourself up too much about this. This is something we've talked about before, and... Mm-hmm. Usually I'm, like, defending the decision that you made, or at least pointing out that I appreciate it. I do think you could go either way. I don't have a problem with if you had gone the other way, that would have been perfectly fine. But, I don't know, it was interesting you mentioned, like, the sociopathic tendencies and, like, maybe he wouldn't have a broken heart. But like, one thing I really like about Sal is how full of contradiction he is, and how much room there is to wonder about like what's really going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because like I do wonder if he cares about his kid or not.
It's hard to know,
right?
I mean, if you ask him, he'd probably say no.
You don't even have to ask him. He could be like sitting in your church minding your own business. I'll come in and tell you. But then, like, the question there is, like, why is he wandering in and telling you?
Yeah.
Like, if he really didn't care, and if he really didn't believe eternal damnation was a thing, then why is he doing any of this? So, I don't feel like that's a plot hole. I feel like that's a complex character.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anything that Sal's doing is a plot hole. And then Father Martinez is just too good for this world. That's why it's fictional.
Yeah, that's a character I would have loved to have seen more of. But, I mean, we got a little bit of him on his own towards the end.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he seemed great. And, like the kind of character who would be fun to follow around for a bit.
Yeah. Just a thoughtful kind of man, it seems like.
Yeah, it would have been nice if we were more well-versed in the Bible.
Yeah. It's not something that... We could not do the character of Father Martinez justice, us as storytellers.
Yes. Oh, and I guess I'll mention that we recorded this right after we recorded A Dwarf in the Sunshine State.
Oh, those were the same recording session?
Same recording session. So there was that moment in that story where you were asking me when I was playing the dwarf, like, what are the dwarven months? And I was unable to say all the different kinds of rocks. So it was just that kind of night for us. We were reaching beyond our knowledge.
But both stories, like, were able to, you know, withstand that, those moments of reach.
Yeah.
And still be pretty good.
Yeah, we did the best we could. I think the overall story was not really hurt by our lack of details. It would have been helped. Mm-hmm. Always nice to get those really fine details in the stories, but I think, you know, all we can ask ourselves is for our best when it's an improvised thing.
Well, where are we going next time?
Next time, we're going to go hang out with the Joseph Family Private Detective Service as they go looking for their missing 3-seat tandem bicycle. So it's back to silly stories next time.
I'm excited. I need some silliness.
This is a good one for silliness.
We've been too serious lately. What with confessions and people being sent to jail and kids being in trouble with a evil fairy.
Yeah. Well, we're getting back to just good old-fashioned goofiness.
Bringing back the less and less grim.
Yes. Yeah, so... It's a fun story.
Well, I'm excited.
For sure.
Well, until next time, then. Goodbye.
Adios.